ที่ฉันซื้อใช่ไหม
Brotherly Fellowship, Vidadragos, Romania. Dear brothers and sisters, Shalom. I think this greeting may be the only one that is understood by all who are in this hall. We know that this word Shalom means peace. It is interesting to observe that although this is commonly said in Israel, as much in our Lord's time as in ours, this greeting is also found in the New Testament with an important meaning that expresses one of the greatest blessings a Christian can have in this life. Shalom, meaning peace, the peace of God and the peace of Christ felt in our hearts. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid, our Lord tells us. John 14:27. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, says the Apostle Paul. Philippians 4:7. He says in Colossians, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body, and be thankful. Colossians 3:15. This peace is one of the things that unites us as brethren. This peace is promised to us and is given to us according to our faith in the most precious promises made to us by God and by our Lord Jesus Christ. Dear brethren, I would like us to continue in this direction and want to share with you some thoughts in connection with brotherly fellowship. The Apostle says, we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Hebrews 3:14. This means that if we have fellowship with Christ, then all who have this fellowship will also have fellowship with one another. As a certain proverb says, the friend of my friend is my friend. I think all of us are happy we can be here in this place. The fact that we are here today in such a great number proves that it is still today and that we can continue our preparation in the school of Christ, which we entered at consecration. I would like to tell you that at the beginning of my consecration, I did not see any use or benefit in participating in these international conventions or other big conventions. I thought that I could not get a blessing and that I could not be a blessing for others. So for some time, I did not participate in them. I was not a very sociable person, and it was hard for me to start a discussion with those I did not know. I think I have made some progress in this direction, but it remains for you to determine whether this is true or not. I don't remember what made me change my mind, but some time ago I started to see that to be together with many brethren, whether I knew them or not, produced a reciprocal blessing for us all. These meetings have given me the opportunity to get to know many brethren and to share the blessings and trials through which they pass, and to have a wonderful spiritual fellowship. As the Apostle says, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia." 2 Corinthians 1:8. "Or, moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God, which hath been given in the churches of Macedonia." 2 Corinthians 8:1. And so the question, why are we here? Each of us can answer for himself. Some are here for fellowship, others for teaching, moral and doctrinal, some for both of these. Others may be here for the first time, wanting to see what an international convention is like, or wanting to see Romania. Moreover, we see there are young people among us, consecrated and not consecrated, who have come perhaps to meet others their age and to make friends in time, perhaps even to get married. Why do I say this? Because it was at a big convention, more specifically, a youth seminar in Romania, where I met my wife. We became friends, and later we saw that it was God's will for us to be together and to serve the Lord together. Both of us were already consecrated. The fact that we are all so different and have so many different customs makes these conventions a good experience in walking in the footsteps of Christ. Those who are here have chosen to be here. Now the Lord will give us some experiences, one with another, if these are received in the proper spirit, with gentleness, humility, goodness, but also with love for the truth. They will be a blessing for us and for those with whom we come in contact. We can, as the Apostle exhorts us, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all, but also warn them that are unruly. 1 Thessalonians 5:14. However, let us not forget that when it comes to admonishing, we can do it in a proper way. We know that not all have the gift or talent to admonish others wisely. I have come here primarily for the fellowship which this convention offers. There are many brethren I can only see here. There are perhaps brethren whom I will see for the last time, which is why I have such an indescribable joy in seeing your faces. We have a great banquet, which is just beginning, and we should be happy that we have the possibility to be together. At the end, after we go home, we will think back with joy at the moments we spent together with our brethren from all over the world. We don't know how long we will have these favorable opportunities to meet, so let us make good use of them. Let us see what the word fellowship, or the phrase to be partakers with someone, means. The dictionary gives us this definition: a person who participates together with others in an activity, who takes part in an action, a person that is happy together with others, or who benefits from a spiritual good, or who shares a trial, a tribulation with others. This is what Christ shows us in the Scriptures. He gives us an eloquent example for those who know what a yoke is. "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Matthew 11:29-30. Why is this yoke light and easy? Because to bear the yoke, one of whom is the Lord. Therefore, all who have taken me upon themselves should know that the Lord is next to them. This is on a personal level where each of us has a yoke to bear, the Lord being with him. But we have many brethren. What does the Lord tell us? It is good for us to get together. Yes, it is good. Why? The Lord tells us, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Matthew 18:20. What does this mean? A blessing. For two, or three, or 20, or 30, or even more people, perhaps 500, as many as we are here, to be together in a blessing, because God has promised to be in our midst. Jesus Christ's apostles suffered much for the sake of establishing the churches in the beginning. We have the examples of Paul, Peter, and others who did everything they could to have fellowship with brethren from different places. Let us listen to Paul. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of your Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Ephesians 1:15-17. And I wish to express the same sentiment to you here. In another place he says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always, in every prayer of mine, for you, all making requests with joy for your fellowship in the good gospel from the first day until now. Philippians 1:3-5. Yes, we are blessed to be partakers of the gospel and partakers of the body of Christ. Thus we see that in addition to the yoke that each of us must personally bear, the Lord being with us in that yoke, we can help, we can thank, we can pray, we can carry our burdens one for another, thus showing that we are in fellowship one with another, and all of us together with Christ. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Galatians 6:2. But some might say, the fellowship we have one with another differs. With some, you can have a more intimate fellowship. With others, less so. How is this possible? What can we say about this? It is true, brethren. This is a reality that proves that because of the fall of man into imperfection, we have different talents and qualities. Some of us have inherited certain natural talents, while others inherited other talents. Some can understand certain things more easily. Others can understand other things, as much in things relating to our natural life as in that which relates to the truth. But let us not forget even for a moment that we are all brethren. And we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Romans 15:1. Thus, if we consider ourselves as being among those considered strong, let us be careful to be a help for others and not a stumbling block for them. In the scriptures, we see that there were differences between the apostles. Paul went on a journey with Silas, while Barnabas went with John Mark. Acts 15:39-40. Sometimes even the Lord was closer to some than to others. He had a more intimate fellowship with Peter, James, and John. What did these three have more than the others? Why did the Lord take with him on occasion and not the others? We know their zeal and love for the Lord made them special. We don't even have to mention Peter, because he was the first in everything. That is why he made more mistakes in the beginning. He was the one who even unsheathed his sword to defend the Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane. The Lord named James and John the sons of thunder. Mark 3:17. On the night of Jesus' betrayal, John was the one who entered the palace with Jesus, was judged, then brought Peter inside. This took special courage and a desire to be close to the Lord, whatever the price. The Lord, in his last moments on the cross, told John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, "Behold your mother," John 19:27, and trusting his mother to him. So, if this is how things are, we ask, on what is our fellowship based? What causes us to be here in this great heat, where many of us do not know each other? Yes, brethren, we have two fundamental points for our fellowship, without which we could not have any spiritual fellowship. The first is faith in the ransom for all given by Jesus. The second is a full consecration unto death for the Lord and his service. I did not mention God, but it is understood that he must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Hebrews 11:6. Is this all? Yes and no. Yes, because on the basis of these points, God accepts as sons those who thus believe and make a consecration. In this way, one may become a son of God and be in fellowship with us and the entire body of Christ. If such a son does not find himself among brethren, but is isolated in Babylon, the Lord will use various means to bring him to other brethren. These include tracts, internet sites, radio programs, public or private preaching, etc. These are all examples of witnessing work done by those who meet together. There may even be persecutions on the part of those in Babylon that makes him realize where he is, thus motivating him to leave in a search for brethren who believe as he does. Our Lord Jesus spoke to the disciples about the signs of the end of the age, that there will be a physical separation of the elected ones. They asked him, "Where will they be taken?" And what did he say? "For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together." Matthew 24:28. But it is just as important what happens after we are all drawn together. God has taken care of us today, as always, and gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Ephesians 4:11-13. Therefore, those two fundamental points are what allows us to enter the first grade, so to speak, in the school of Christ. But after this, as the Apostle says, progress and growth are required. Therefore, our fellowship can differ in proportion to our zeal and development in the school of Christ. We know that children like to play together, but rarely do we see 3 or 4 year olds playing with children of 10 or 11. The young ones prefer to play with those of their age. Likewise, those who are older. It may be the same with fellowship in the school of Christ, with the difference that those more developed in the fruits of the Spirit, those who are stronger, can and should compensate for the frailties of those who are weak and not please themselves. Romans 15:1. A brother once gave what I believe is a very good illustration to show what our fellowship is with each other and with the Lord. Consider a circle. The Lord is in the center of the circle. When we enter the school of Christ and consecration, we are at the edge of the circle. As we grow in grace and knowledge, in the fruits of the Spirit, in love, we advance toward the Lord, who is at the center of the circle. We will observe that as we draw closer to the Lord in the center, we also draw closer to each other. Thus, the distance between us lessens as we advance toward the center to be with the Lord. In this way, the closer we are to the Lord, the closer we will be to each other. Historically, it is a proven fact that the Lord has used His servants down through the ages to give His people what they needed. Such was His promise. But now, at the end of this gospel age, in the harvest, the Lord is blessing us with much life. The morning has come. The sun is rising, and the Lord's people are rejoicing in present truth, by which they can see the harmony of the teachings of the Scriptures about many things. The presence of the Lord, the end of the times of the Gentiles, the return of favor to Israel, the resurrection of the church, the permission of evil and its relation with God's plan, the day of judgment, the day of Jehovah, and many other things. All this should make our fellowship more intimate because we are drawing closer and closer to the Lord and to each other. But as we mentioned earlier, some see more and some see less of these things. So our fellowship would vary. With some it will be more intimate than with others. But some may say, I cannot have fellowship with those who do not believe as I do. They may insist and make their own principles from different points of truth. To them, if these are not accepted, there can be no talk of fellowship. These brethren forget, it is possible for us to have much knowledge about the truth, but if we do not also have the spirit of the truth, that our knowledge cannot produce a blessing for others. Instead, it will produce trouble, injuries, evil speaking, and the like. Because of this, let us make every effort, as the Apostle Peter advises us, to add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. 2 Peter 1, 7, 5-7. If these are combined together, we will be able to show the truth in a way pleasing to the Lord. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, acts like mortar that cements together all those doctrines and presents truths as bricks. Thus it is possible to build a strong faith that will do much good for all around us, whether they are brethren, friends, neighbors, or even enemies. If we neglect assembling together with those who are the Lord's people, and in whom we see the seal of the Spirit, we will not receive the benefits and help which every joint supplies, including the help God promised the church through its different members. In the final analysis, with whom can we not have fellowship? The Scriptures tell us, specifically Paul, "Now I have written unto you, not to keep company, if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, a covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such a one, not even to eat." 1 Corinthians 5:11. This defines, as does Galatians 5:19 and 20, and Ephesians 5:3-7. the things someone can do that excludes them from fellowship. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, because those who do these things will not inherit the kingdom of God, Ephesians 5:7. This is all the filthiness of the flesh, but there may also be some filthiness of the spirit. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. 2 Corinthians 7:1. The filthiness of the spirit is defined in another place as the doctrines of devils. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. 1 Timothy 4:1. These would be teachings that are not in complete accord with the two fundamental points mentioned previously. The ransom for all and consecration unto death. We might also ask if this fellowship, one with another, and together with Christ, is necessary. How necessary is it? The Apostle Paul, in his epistle to the Hebrews, advises them and us, saying, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Hebrews 10:25. The Apostle John in his first epistle tells us, that which ye have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father, and with His Son, Jesus Christ. If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. 1 John 1:3-7. Today we live at a time when we should gather together more rather than to separate. The time will come when we will not be able to be together because of circumstances beyond our control. We know that a night will come in which no one will be able to work. So let us work while it is day, and let us put on all the weapons of light so we can stand firm should that nighttime find us still in the flesh. Why can't we always have fellowship in peace and quiet? Is there a need also for wind and storm? We think there is. Jesus tells us that we can only get into the kingdom if we pass through many trials. But let us be brave, because He was victorious. The apostles warned us that Satan, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter 5:8. And also, that there will be different ones among us, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. 1 Corinthians 11:19. But if through all these trials we try to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, Ephesians 4:3, and we will let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in the lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves, Philippians 2:3, then we will be victorious. The Lord will finally say, well done, good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Therefore, let us make use of the different arrangements and provisions which God has made for our spiritual growth. Even though we can't have a personal contact with the Lord, we can have a connection with Him through prayer and through the members of His body and through the Scriptures. Even though we cannot have contact and personal fellowship with the apostles, we can have contact with their words. And if we are in a situation where we can't have face-to-face contact and personal fellowship with the members of the church. We can have contact with them through mail, email, Skype, Adobe Connect, and other miracles, which we enjoy today, fellowship with them.
Abyśmy mogli się ostać
fellowship
wtedy, kiedy zły czas zostanie nas w ciele.
And with one another today. If done faithfully unto death,
nie możemy mieć zawsze tej
will result in an everlasting
pokoju,
fellowship together with the Lord and with all His saints.
Sądzimy, że tak.
Then our fellowship
Jezus mówi nam,
and joy
że
will be complete.
Wchodzi się przez wiele utrapień, ale nie
then
boimy się, gdyż
we
on
will
zwyciężył.
Completely understand everything,
apostołowie ostrzegają nas, że szatan wchodzi jako lew ryczący, szukając kogo by pożarł.
For which we will thank God
i że wśród nas muszą być oddawca, aby okazało się, którzy są wyprzywowani,
nor ear heard. Neither have entered into the heart of man.
Jedność ducha w związku pokoju, Efezjan 4:3, i nie będziemy czynić nic w duchu walki lub próżnej chwały, lecz w pokorze oceniając jedni drugich za wyżej stojących od siebie, Filipian 2:3, wtedy zwyciężymy i w końcu usłyszymy.
To face,
dobrze, sługo wierny, wejdź do radości Pana Twego. Dlatego używajmy różnych środków i napomnień, które Pan dał nam dla naszego rozwoju duchowego. Nie możemy mieć osobistej łączności z Panem. Możemy mieć łączność
even as I also
poprzez członków Jego ciała
overcame
i przez Pismo.
And I'm set down
również nie możemy mieć rzeczywistej łączności z apostołami, ale możemy mieć
throne
łączność z ich słowami. Sytuacja, w której nie możemy mieć rzeczywistej, osobistej 21 łączności z członkami Kościoła, możemy mieć kontakt przez pocztę, e-mail, Skype'a, Adobe Connect i inne cudowne środki, za pomocą których możemy trwać w społeczności i się cieszyć. Społeczność z Chrystusem i ze sobą nawzajem, kontynuowana wiernie aż do śmierci, zaowocuje wieczną społecznością z Panem i ze wszystkimi Jego świętymi. Wtedy nasza społeczność i radość będzie pełna. Wtedy zrozumiemy w pełni wszystko, zarówno rzeczy, przez które przeszliśmy w obecnym życiu, za które będziemy dziękować Bogu, jak i rzeczy, których oko nie widziało i ucho nie słyszało, ani na serce ludzkie nie wstąpiło, 2 Koryntian 2:9. Wielka radość będzie, gdy twarzą w twarz zobaczymy Jego, jak mówi pieśń 208 w śpiewniku rumuńskim. Zwycięzcy dam zasiąść ze mną na moim tronie, jak ja zwyciężyłem i zasiadłem z mym Ojcem na Jego tronie. Objawienie 3:21. Niech Pan nam pomoże osiągnąć taką społeczność. Amen.
May God help us to achieve this fellowship. Amen.
We thank Brother Gitze for the lesson he presented. We wish that each one of us will apply the advice of the scripture during the time we will be here, but also after we leave this place.
Chciałbym tylko dodać kilka słów
I would just add the words from Romans 8:31.